Well, it's good to have you with us, and I want to welcome the other campuses of Springs Church. Great to have you guys with us as we get into the Word. And we pray God touches you right through that big screen. Something amazing is going to take place. Father, guide me today. I ask you to prepare each person's heart here. I pray that we would have a repentant spirit, meaning that we'd be easy to change what we believe when we hear truth. And you're the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. So help each person here to be open to changing wrong beliefs, to accepting things from your word, and that we can go on and live incredible, overcoming lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an incredible story in the Bible, and when you read the Bible, there's a couple principles to remember. God's word is true. The Bible says that God's word be true and every man a liar. But we also study not just the things that are spoken, but the practices that men and women of God did. So to follow Jesus through his everyday life and to see what he did, how he did it, where he did it, when, those things all teach us as well. And then the stories that are included. I mean, over the thousands of years, can you imagine what it would be like to chronologize all the stories of God's people? Even with Jesus, it says that you could never contain all the story. So everything in the Bible is there to teach us. There's a reason for it. There's a story. It's quite the story in Luke chapter 1. It's about a man named Zechariah. Now, he's one of the priests, and they take turns going into the temple and doing their daily routines. It's his turn. He's in there, and he's doing what priests do in the temple, and an angel appears to him. This angel says that his name was Gabriel and that he had a message for him. He said, your wife has not been able to have a child, and he said, you're going to now have a son, and you're going to name that son John. And he explains to him how that John was going to be this voice in the wilderness preparing the way for Jesus to come. So let's pick this up in verse 18 of Luke chapter 1, and let's take a look at Zechariah's response and what happens. And Zechariah said to the angel, by what shall I know and be sure of this? All right, if Gabriel the angel appears to you, all right, and tells you things nobody knows about you, and then you go, how can I be sure? You got a problem. So the angel replied to him and said, I am Gabriel. Oh, no, let me finish the line. So it says, but what shall I know and be sure of this? For I'm an old man and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel replied to him, like, I can see the expression of kind of, hello, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God, and I have been sent to talk to you and to bring you this good news. Then the angel says, now, behold, you will be and will continue to be silent and not able to speak till the day when these things take place, because you have not believed what I told you. But my words are of a kind which will be fulfilled in the appointed and proper time. This is an incredible story because it supports principles in the Word of God that teach us that your faith has a huge amount to do with your future. Now let's think this thing through. Why would an angel come to him, tell him of this incredible miracle, and then when he sees that he's not going to believe, strike him silent? He could not form a word. He could not speak a word, because the Bible teaches us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching on faith and the principles of faith. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to get it, because your future and where you go in life is not dependent on answered prayer. well, I'm still praying and, you know, and I'm believing God and that God's going to do this. And I'm just, and so we have all these well-developed doctrines as to why God didn't answer this prayer, why he did answer that prayer, this prayer, that prayer, etc. And so those people have never been taught the new covenant. They are still stuck in the old covenant of beseeching and praying, getting before God, trying to get God to move. And they don't realize that that type of praying in the new covenant is unbelief. And we'll cover that a little bit up. Why would an angel look over at Zechariah and then say to him, "You will not be able to speak till the boy is born"? Because he is the father. Zechariah wasn't like Jesus, where it was an immaculate conception. Okay, he had to chase his wife around the room a little bit later. Okay, and so when she got pregnant, he knew that Zechariah, that was his son. And until children reach the age of accountability, the faith and the words of the parents are very powerful over their lives. He did not want this man to stop what God was trying to do. Now the next question is, oh, come on, Leon. You're not going to stop what God himself wants to do. Actually, that's very true. All through the Bible, it teaches us that life and death are in the power of your tongue. That your tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And that your tongue, every time it speaks, is writing beliefs on your heart. That your heart is the autopilot of your life. And that if you're not taught that, the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So people who don't understand the renewing of the mind, heart beliefs, how faith fits in, the Bible says, the Bible says that that when we study the word, we become disciplined followers of him. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free to function and to operate as a child of God. So if this wasn't true, then was the angel just ticked off? Did Gabriel go to Zechariah? You jerk. I'm just tired of your unbelief. You're not going to talk for 9 months. No, there's a reason why Zechariah couldn't talk for 9 months, because he had a problem believing this. When you have a problem believing, your mouth will say things that come out of your heart, even though it's not truth according to God's word. And so what we say with our mouths every day, and I'll just do a fast review, and what we are saying with our mouths every day are prophetic words. What does that mean? The word prophetic simply means they are alive and they are establishing your future. We're all wanting someone to give us a word. Would a prophet prophesy and tell me my future? I'm going to tell you your future right now. Whatever you've been saying the last week, year, 3 years is your future. And if you haven't been taught how to function in this, then, you know, the junk that comes into our lives, this world's got stuff. When we grow up, the things that go on in our parents' lives, grandparents' lives, uncles, aunts, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you're not responsible for your past, and it's not your fault, so don't get caught up in condemnation and shame. But wherever you are now, it's your responsibility to decide, I'm going to get the tools and I'm going to change my future. Now, the world has figured this out to such a degree that if you go for any kind of sales training at conferences, if you are a salesperson, they will teach you how to think and be positive. They'll teach you how to make sure that your mouth is speaking positive words. They've learned the power of words over the body and the mind. But even being positive, that's not faith. Now, I prefer positive people. I prefer positive words. I like people who get up and have a go and are positive. They're doing incredible things around the planet. But a believer, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and you are filled with the presence of God, you have an ability, because Romans 12:3 says God gives you a measure of his faith. The world has an ability to kind of believe, but when you give your life to Christ, it says in Romans 12:3, this measure is delivered to you, and that now you can believe like Jesus. You can believe with the God kind of faith. And so our words, even in the Old Testament, before we are born again, controlled and determined things. So here's Zechariah, and the angel knows if that dad opens his mouth, and says anything negative, it can cost this incredibly important miracle that John the Baptist comes on the scenes and to that Jewish nation begins to prepare the way. And he prepared the way to such a degree that thousands upon tens of thousands of Israelites gave their lives to Christ and believed on him. And if he wouldn't have appeared, then we wonder what would have happened. God's plan was John the Baptist come and that he would go and be this precursor to Jesus, that he would preach the way, he'd baptize him. So this was an important event. I just want you to notice. The angel knew if he talks his doubt and unbelief, it could cost us this miracle. I want you to understand that according to the Bible, the words that you speak, you see, everybody here should be working and developing, renewing our mind as to who the new us is. If you've given your life to Christ, you have an incredible ability to believe his word. And his word is all about the promises of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. John 10:10 says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. If you think your prosperity is tied to your career, you have a misbelief. If you think because things are bad at your company that you can't prosper and be blessed, you are dealing with a misbelief. If you think because the flu's in the city that you're going to catch it, you have a misbelief. Let's talk about the word truth. The Bible says that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, we think truth according to the five senses. That's natural truth. But there is a truth, according to the Word of God, that is the original truth. What's the original truth? Give you an example. I shared the story the other day about a Mercedes-Benz 4x4, drug runners racing through Brazil streets of a city, and they took it as far into the jungle to escape the law as they could, abandon it, you know, way off the roads. And this group, this tribe that never hangs out in the first world there, found it, and the window on the driver's side was down, the engine was off. They didn't know what it was. They're touching it and looking at it. What could it be? It's a chicken coop. We can put our chickens in that truck and that thing, and we'll just put branches over top of the window, and it's going to hold our chickens. So for years, this thing is a chicken coop. Now, is that the truth? Yes, according to their five senses, it's a chicken coop. It can be used for a chicken coop. And it is a chicken coop as far as they're concerned. Because the driver's window was open, all the rest of the windows are closed. They just put a few branches across, shove the chickens in there, they're not escaping anymore. They reach in and grab the chicken when they want it, and they go and they eat it. It's a great chicken coop. But if they ever understood what that little button that says S-T-A-R-T and you push it would do, and that thing went and came to life, and cold air started blowing through the vents. It's an air conditioner. This thing is a miraculous, blows cold air. Now, is that the truth? Well, according to your five senses, it's the truth. But what's the original truth? The original truth is that Mercedes-Benz made it to go 100 miles an hour down the Autobahn, and this thing can. And it'll take your phone through here. Music's coming through there. It'll give you air conditioning. It'll give you heat. What is this thing? What's the original truth of this thing is one thing. What people use it for is their truth, if you want to call it that. But there is an original truth. It is the way the designer has made you. And the problem with the people today is everybody's got an opinion. Every, you know, just like two armpits, everyone's got two opinions about God and about how God works. And you know what? I don't care what you think, and I don't care what I think. What I've learned to respect is what does the Word say? And the Bible says in Ephesians 6:10 that the armor that we have, the belt which holds all the Roman soldiers' armor on, is a belt of truth. Not truth as in what you can see right now, but what is the original norm is what it means. And the original norm is that you're an overcomer born of God, that you're the king's kid, that you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. The presence of God goes before you. It goes behind you. It's your rear guard. And that everything you put your hands to is blessed, that no one will stand before you all the days of your life, that as he was with Moses and as he was with Joshua, he will be with you. And as he was with Jesus, as he is, so are you in this world. I could go on quoting verse after verse after verse. That's who you are. That's the truth. Now, the fact you don't walk in it, you don't make it happen, you don't use it, you don't study it, you don't meditate, and so your life is a mess. say, well, I don't believe it. This is me. Get used to it. No, that's not you. That's the you that refuses to meditate and get into the Word. But it's the truth. Yes, it's the truth according to your five senses. But it's not the truth according to the original norm that God has created you. He had to shut Zechariah's mouth. Even in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were going to go around Jericho, and Jericho was a city that when you study history or the Bible, they were racing chariots on top of the wall. That's how incredible the city's defenses were. And so when God said, go take Jericho, they're going, how in the world? There's not a weak spot on this wall. And he said, walk around it for 7 days. And on the seventh day, walk around it seven times. You got to be kidding us. And by the way, shut your mouth. No one's talking. That's what he said. He said, you tell them, Joshua, that there's no one utters a word walking around that city. Now, you got to know that in the city, by the way, was giants. All of Canaan was inhabited by a race of giants called Nephilim. These were known to be 11 feet tall. There was races of giants. And so they were on the wall just laughing at these people walking around the city. Oh, another today too, eh? Ha ha, you bunch of fools. And so what are they going to say? If you'd let them speak, what are we doing? But God did not want them to speak. The words that we speak are so powerful for our own destiny and our future that we can see that on the seventh day, finally, God allowed them to speak. And here's what they were told to do. When you get around that city the seventh time, you will shout and glorify God. You will praise him. You will go, yeah! And the walls came down. So all through the Word we can find, and I could go on, I could teach for years on just the topic of faith and how it's interwoven in the Old Testament, in the New. What it means to renew your mind until your heart is established in grace, until you begin to speak the Word. There's just tremendous teaching in this. And so as I read the Old Testament as a young pastor, I remember in my mind saying, man, I wish that an angel would appear to me. It'd be so much easier if he would just appear to me 25 years ago and said, yeah, you and Sally are going to start a church in Calgary or in Winnipeg. It's going to grow big, then you're going to put it in Selkirk and Steinbeck. You're going to put it out in Calgary. When you go to Calgary, it's going to take it. And you're going to get a television network. And when you get the television network, you're going to, oh man, it'd be so good to know all these things. But none of that happened. And one day I was saying, God, why do these people get angels appearing in visions and dreams from God, directing them? And God can still do that, by the way. But according to Romans chapter 8, the way he leads his people today is by his Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we've got to be in tune with him. And as I begin to recognize that just like the words that Abraham got, you're going to have a son. Like the words Zechariah got, you're going to have a son. Like the words the Israelites got, you're going to walk around that city and you're going to take it out. Those promises from God that he spoke to them through an angel, spoke to them through a dream, that it is exactly Holy Spirit's job to speak his word to you. When you go to John chapter 16 and verse 13 to 15, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes. Now, let's stop right there. There are some people who think they're the church cops. They know the truth about everybody. Oh, that guy back there, yeah, I'll tell you right now, he thinks that guy's got a problem. I can just sense it. I know the truth about him. And we think that this word truth is talking about, you can't lie to me. I know that you're this, you're that, you're... Stop. It's talking about truth in the original norm, God's original design. When you begin to understand the truth of why the Old Testament teaches the way it is and why the cross is the way it is, why Jesus died, and you get an understanding of truth, the original norm, it says here, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the full truth, the whole truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, the Holy Spirit, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father, he will give the message that has been given to him. And he'll announce it and declare it to you, the things that are to come, what will happen in the future. Let's stop right there. Why is it so clear that Holy Spirit is only going to speak what Father God tells him to? Over the years as I've traveled around, I have met people, say they're Christians, who would operate and say, Holy Spirit told me this. And I said, whoa, 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 stop. He did not tell you that. You can't know that. Don't you tell me what Holy Spirit spoke. I said, he did not say that to you because it does not agree with Father's word. Holy Spirit's not going to guide you in things that go against the Word of God. And so it's trying to establish this, that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that the three are never going to come against each other. And I had someone walk into our church that they said they see angels every day. And they would tell us what the angel said to them today. And I said, stop. I said, that's not an angel from God. And they said, what? Why not? Because the Bible doesn't say that he leads his people by angels. And even Jesus never saw an angel every day. And so he went and communed with God. So you seeing an angel every day, according to the Word of God, we know that Satan can come as an angel of light. And he'll say positive things. And it can be like another gospel. You know, when we look at the teaching of the Word and the practices of the early church, we get a beautiful glimpse of how Holy Spirit works with them and how things are involved in their life. And so it's crucial that we see that Holy Spirit will only speak what is truth that's already established by Father God, by what Jesus did on the cross. Holy Spirit will bring these truths to you. Now, let's just stop right there for a minute. Isn't this interesting? Just like Zechariah heard from Gabriel, the angel, like Moses was spoken to through a burning bush, like an angel that appeared to some of the Old Testament men and women and gave them their instructions and guided with them what they're going to do with their lives. Don't be asking for dreams and visions, because I've seen people get them and get really confused, because the enemy can do it too. Instead, recognize that Holy Spirit, okay? I mean, that third part of the Trinity, that he's within you. And that when you meditate in God's Word, he will declare this Word to you. He will take this Word and show you things to come through his Word. So there should be no person as amazingly accurate with their lives, filled with courage, filled with bravery, walking through storms, keeping their eye on the mark, as those who have made a decision that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, comes into my heart, and I'm following him, and my desire is to please him. He's not just my Savior. He is my Lord. Everything he says, everything he wants, that's what I want to do. When you move to that place, then the Holy Spirit, as you begin to study the Word, a friend of my dad's, his name was Atchison, Mr. Atchison. He had a gangrenous foot so bad they said it was dead. It was black. And it was black from the ankle down. And they wanted to amputate it. And you know, people sometimes with surgery struggle because, well, should I or shouldn't I? I always tell them, if you got fear, go get the surgery, because fear stops your miracle anyway. And so he was going through the Word, and he was saying, okay, God, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. And as he was reading the Word, he happened to get his Bible to one of the promises that said, and your foot shall not be taken. And the Holy Spirit, his words, as you shared, I was a young boy at the time, but I was there when he told my parents the story. He said, and when he read that, something leaped within him as Holy Spirit, just grandfather's word, God the Father, take the word and just woof. He said, this is my promise. And he said, no. And in that hospital, he stayed in the hospital. And they would come by and they would measure, always measure. Anytime you have an infection with red streaks or you're black, nurses and doctors here know, you're going to measure what's going on. And this thing started to retreat, which is impossible. But the pink started to overtake the black, and it pushed it out. And he stayed in the hospital while they kept looking at this thing until it came right out the end of his toes, and his feet were completely, this one foot was completely replaced. And this man was a man of the Word. He was a pastor that would come and speak in our church. My parents knew him well. He wasn't this fly-by-night guy that's got a doctrine. He was a person that loved the Word. But Holy Spirit had spoken to him and revealed. And when I go into the Word of God, if I'm believing God for something, and someone else is waiting for an angel from heaven, I just trust that what Jesus established on the cross, the foundation of my faith, is the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And I believe in that. And because of that, I am not asking God for something he's already given through Jesus. There's other things I ask him about. Where should I plant a church next? Should I hire this person? I can't find a verse on that. So Holy Spirit will guide us in the unknown of things that Scripture is silent on. Okay? But for the majority of my life, as I study the Word, and there's things that I'm believing and see, that I find that the Word whoo, it just rises up. It just leaps. I don't know how to explain it. It's like it leaps off the page. I'll find a promise and I go, oh, yeah. And it just lights me up. And I know the Spirit, Holy Spirit, has spoken to me through this promise. And I will speak that promise day after day. Now, I'll speak every promise that I get. But I've noticed that Holy Spirit, He loves. See, when you go this, it says, let's read this again, John, because my time is done. John 16. But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you. You can put your name right in there. He'll guide Leon into all truth. Now, the truth of who I am, what God has done, what God's Word says, who God is, who the devil is, great Bible doctrine, the original truth according to God. Holy Spirit is going to teach that to me. And then it says, for He will not speak His own message or on His own authority, but He will tell you whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He'll announce it and declare it to you, the things that are to come for you, that will happen in the future for you. Just like angels and dreams and visions to the Old Testament. And God can still speak that way, and He does occasionally, very occasionally. Because according to Romans 8:11, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the ones who live like the sons of God. And so unless you take time to meditate in God's Word, Holy Spirit has a hard time teaching it to you. You know, my grandkids, you know, when they're in kindergarten and they say, Pops, can you help me learn stuff? And I go, what do you want to learn? Well, I have to be good at kindergarten. Well, what do you want to know about kindergarten? Well, if she doesn't know, how do I know? But if she shows me the sheet and says, I got to learn, this is called my letters. Oh, yeah, I can help you with that. When you get into the Word and you focus on the Word and you meditate on God's Word and you begin to speak God's Word out of your mouth, which is a crucial issue, okay, Holy Spirit begins to take you on a journey of truth. And this truth gets written on your heart. As you begin to declare, Jesus took my sins. I gave my life to Him. I am righteous as a gift. I thank You when it comes to my identity. I'm made in the likeness and the image of God. And my parents don't decide who I am. My teacher doesn't decide who I am. Mensa does not decide who I am or anybody else. I am a child of God. And everything I put my hand, and you begin to get this identity according to the Word as Holy Spirit. As you begin to read the Word, He begins to speak it to you. He begins to reveal it to you. And something the world can't touch as God, because that's who Holy Spirit is. God begins to rise up inside of you. How easy it is to get healed when you allow Holy Spirit. How easy it is to begin to prosper against every odds. When everybody says it's through, you'll be the one. The Bible says in Psalms 91, 1,000 may go down at your side. 10,000 can't make it happen on your right side. You go on in the blessing and the victory of God. Why? Because you don't live according to the kingdom of darkness with Him as your Savior and boss. You live in the kingdom of His dear Son, and you are in the kingdom of light, and that is what governs your world and your future. But none of that will work in your life unless you choose to believe. So I want to challenge you today that this thing called faith, it's not just being positive. It's not just staying happy. It is a miraculous thing that only the believer, the God kind of faith, has been delivered to born again believers, not followers of Jesus who like Him and His teachings and we're going to do good things. No, no. You believed on Jesus as died and rose again, and He's my Savior and Lord. I've invited Him into my heart. This miraculous faith looks after as you begin to believe. Now, here's the other thing I'll throw this out, study it on your own. Most Christians in the first world have incredibly well-developed doubt. They do. You wouldn't believe how easy it is for me to get those who don't know Christ healed. Easy as pie. But for me to get Christians healed, especially those who have grown up in the church, listen to 49,000 messages as to why God might not, why God might delay it, why it's not for everybody. God is sovereign. There is about 30 doctrines across denominations that make people feel better about not having prayer answered. Well, that's not Jesus. And others, they don't want to talk about it because people feel guilty. Well, then are you saying it's my fault that business went bad? Is it my fault I lost that loved one? And they just want to, and none of us have had perfect upbringing. None of us have gotten everything we prayed God for. I've lost people and loved ones and things and projects and stuff as I'm learning, understanding who I am and how to function this way. This message today, I called it Holy Spirit's Words. No one ever talks about Holy Spirit's words, because Holy Spirit's words, according to this portion of Scripture, will be God's words. It'll never go against God's written word. It'll never go against Jesus and what he has done on the cross. But when Holy Spirit speaks and reveals and touches you on the inside, you'll rise up and you'll do things in business others don't think is even possible. You'll do things in salvaging relationships, believing God for health and energy and healing, believing God. You'll begin to believe as to what you can do in life at a level that people will be astounded. And this is what I want to teach you. Get a hold of God's word. Allow Holy Spirit to speak to you deep inside. You need quiet times. Whenever I want a quiet time, I don't take my iPad with me. Because if I'm reading the word on my iPad, every text goes boing, every email goes boing, every news editor special pick boing, and it's always trying to distract me off. So I shut everything down. I go into a room where I can have an hour or two of uninterrupted. Almost none of us have uninterrupted time. And if you are a doctor on call, well, then hand your phone to your wife, say, come and get me if it goes off and I've got a patient, because I did that for years where I was on call. And I need some time. And in this time, there will be no interruptions as you begin to just talk, read the word, pray in the spirit, and begin to listen. That hour, start with 5 minutes, begins to be very special. As the things I have found that there's times, I'll go all night. Weekly, I will go all night as I begin to see things in the Word, and Spirit of God begins to speak to me and talk to me and reveal to me and show to me. And then it's amazing to me how when I'm on some of the most amazing times of study, all of a sudden people are trying to get a hold of me, like 10 times more than the other part of the week. The enemy's not stupid. He can't afford to have you get your faith working, because when your faith begins to work, he's finished with messing with your life. Father, I pray that you'd touch each person here in a very special way, that we would understand that you have given us all things that pertain to life, that Jesus paid the price for every miracle that we would need in our lives, and that if we'll just trust you and thank you and believe that it's done, that we can walk our lives in a way of success and victory that only you can bring. Touch each person, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen and amen.